record show because John's a wicked guy and he puts on a good show. There's way more selection for one. You never know what you're gonna find. You can find that holy grail you've been looking for. You might not find it at a record show, at a record store. And there's way more vendors, so there's way more. I guess different genres of music and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. It's a great community event. You know, it's all ages and, you know, family friendly. And, it's, you know, a lot of these guys are from the local community. So, you know, you buy a record, you're supporting them, or you're supporting a local independent shop like my own. So,
all right. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for coming out, man.
Sure. Jack Tielman, T-I-E-L-E-M-A-N, Nanaimo, British Columbia, Canada.
All right. What brings you here from Nanaimo?
It's a great place to sell records. It's a good environment, and it's nothing funner than slinging sides.
Yeah, and you know what got you into collecting and also just selling like this? Like, what's the significance of it for you?
As I like to say, with any good addiction, you become a user, then a dealer. So I've just loved records since I was a kid, and then it turned a passion into like a business, and now it's more of a hobby. But it's one of the best things you can do. We got friends around the world because of records.
Yeah, and like, what would you say the uniqueness of roundup events like this are compared to just going to like a record store?
Well, you see records you never see because there's people that only sell at these events. You get people that are gung ho that know a lot about music and really are keen. So you get the high end collectors, people that are very excited to find rare records or hard to find records.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what would you recommend? You know, someone who's never been to one of these things, like, what would you recommend is something they should keep in mind?
Bring a bag, bring cash, and if you don't like big crowds, show up a bit later in the day, and there's always good records at the end of the day. Nobody ever sells everything, so those are the tips of the trade.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, my name's Jessica Brown, and I'm the co-owner of Relove Records in downtown New West.
Okay, and what brings you here today?
I'm here selling records, and I'm here buying records off of other vendors from the store.
All right, and yeah, as a record store, what's the importance of coming out to events like this and selling as well?
Getting people to know who you are. We're a little bit of a hidden gem in the New West area, and we just like to remind people that we're around and we got some really great albums.
Mm-hmm. And just in general, like, what would you say the significance or importance of events like this are? You know, so many people coming together. Not everyone is a store owner. You know, some people are just like selling their collections. What's the importance of that?
No, it's really good to see, and it's good to be a part of this environment. When they're doing well, we're doing well. So it's one of these things where we all kind of see each other's successes too. And I like to see that. There's some great albums here. They were meant to be played and replayed. It's fun. Fun gig.
Once again, those were some of my interviews from the North Burnaby Vinyl Record Roundup at the Lockdale Community Hall, right just here in the bottom of the mountain. So a very, very hyper-local event, and one that, when it comes around again, we will make sure to let you know that it's coming around. And yeah, I think it's a very, as a lot of people that I spoke to said, it's a really unique sort of event that I think really sets itself apart from just going to a record store, because not only are you, one, finding just things that you wouldn't probably find in a record store because you're looking through people's personal collections, but you're also, yeah, connecting with this just larger community of people who are as obsessed with this thing as you are. So, yeah, very cool event, and make sure you attend the next one if you're able. All right, we're going to take just one other music break, but when we get back, we're going to talk a bit about some municipal politics. That's right, there is a Burnaby City Council meeting tonight, June 23rd at 5 p.m. at Burnaby City Hall. Let's talk about it.
¡Gracias!
You're listening to Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. And that was a song from the band Bloom Effect, local to Vancouver. It was a track by the name of Hide. And now we're going to speak a bit about the upcoming Burnaby City Council meeting that is happening tonight at 5 p.m. Like many other council meetings, there are going to be many bylaw amendments and readings regarding things like Burnaby zoning in different areas like Silver Avenue and Dow Avenue, Lougheed Highway. But there are some things that I thought were worth mentioning and worth talking about, especially if this was a meeting that you wanted to attend tonight at 5 p.m., either physically or remotely, because, fun fact, you can attend these meetings virtually as well and see what's happening live. The first thing that is being talked about at this meeting is a final report on the Mayor's Task Force on Economic Growth and Resilience. This is something that I interviewed Mayor Mike Hurley about actually last summer at this point. So it's been about a year since this task force was first formed. And during that conversation, although there wasn't like the clearest picture of what it was going to entail, essentially, the point of the task force was to gather local business owners and economic strategists, as well as the mayor, and create a plan in order to attract more business and more economic growth to Burnaby, somewhat as a response to, you know, the ongoing precarious situation with Canada's relations with the United States. Moving on from that, though, another thing to mention is in the committee report section of the City Council meeting, there is a committee report, and the purpose of it is to seek support for a nationwide Chinese Canadian Heritage Month. Now, whether that means advocating to the federal government to have that instated or to do it specifically within Burnaby to start, that is to be seen, but I thought that that was an important thing to mention as well. On the consent agenda, quite a lot of things. I think, you know, when it gets to the summer months and the city council meetings become fewer and less frequent, a lot needs to be said. But one of those things, which is very important, is a item on the consent agenda to speak on the 2026 general local election, which is happening in Burnaby as well as every other surrounding municipality. So there's going to be a lot to talk about come October. And you already know CJSF will be a source for a lot of information during that time. So make sure to tune in when you can. So the purpose of this item is to provide an overview of the 2026 general local election preparations and timelines, which also includes the school district number 41 election. So now in the summer, it's about only 4 months away from the general election. So timelines need to be put in place. I think sooner or later, we will be fully aware of all of the candidates running for whether it be school board trustee or city council or even mayor. We'll let you know when there is more information. Next on the consent agenda is the 2025 Indigenous Relations and Reconciliation Division Year in Review. And the purpose of this is to update council on the work of the Indigenous Relations and Reconciliation Division of the City of Burnaby. The mandate of this division was to build and maintain relationships with host nations on whose unceded territories the city is now located and with the indigenous peoples who live in Burnaby. So that will also be something very important to learn about and see what progress has been made. Obviously, there is a lot more going on this meeting, but those were some of the highlights that I thought were very important and worth mentioning. So, that being said, thank you all for listening to that small little summary of what you can expect from the upcoming Burnaby City Council meeting. We're going to be moving on to another talk piece, this one coming out of Comox, British Columbia, and this is from CHLY's local community journalist, Jeannie Lin.
This is a CHLY and Dig FM news update. On Monday night, the New Forest Act Roadshow and campaign to reform provincial forestry legislation stopped in Courtney. The event was hosted by local organization Save Our Forest, Comox Valley, as part of a series of presentations throughout BC. Presenter Jennifer Houghton is a campaign director of the proposed New Forest Act.
The New Forest Act is a citizen-developed legislative proposal, and it's meant to replace the current forestry legislation in BC. It has three key priorities. The first one is ecological integrity. The second one is community-based decision-making, and the other is community economies.
The New Forest Act is a campaign of the Boundary Forest Watershed Stewardship Society, an organization based in Grand Forks that advocates for forestry protection. According to the organization, the New Forest Act is a fully developed legislative framework that prioritizes community input and shifts control to public interest stewardship. Throughout the month of June, Houghton is touring 12 communities throughout BC to advocate for the proposed framework. Houghton, through the Stewardship Society, developed the New Forest Act framework in 2024, along with project advisor and Vancouver Island-based forestry professional Dave Weaver. Weaver says that the current forestry legislation is in need of reform.
It's a timber-driven legislation where the priority is to produce, manufacture logs out of forests for timber production and that commodity and the sale of that wood. And the issue has been that that has been the priority, and other values have been compromised. Wildlife, biological, biodiversity, habitat. Rates of harvest are controlled in the province on the public land, but here on Vancouver Island, we have a large area of private forest land, and the rates of harvest are not controlled. So the rate of harvest is the real concern.
Weaver says one of the goals of the proposal is watershed protection. He explains the role forestry plays in the water supply.
The amount of water that makes it into the watershed or doesn't make it into the watershed is a function of how much forest is there. Ultimately, the aquifers that charge wells or charge our water supply is a function of the trees intercepting that rain or slowing it down and letting it drip into the soil rather than running right off if there's no trees there, if they're recently logged. Or the other scenario is that we have, if it's so much logging and the snow is on the ground, when it comes to thaw, there's no protection of that snow at all and it just melts immediately.
According to Natural Resources Canada, forests can help mitigate climate emergencies by balancing carbon, regulating water cycles, and maintaining soil moisture. Weaver explains how forest laws could worsen climate disasters.
Nowadays, where the ecosystems are stretched, they're stretching more because of climate changes coming and other developments, cumulative effects of the developments in watersheds. The forests play, intact forests play a huge role in mitigating, if anything, droughts and fire risk and all of these things. If we lose all our forests continually at the rate that we have now, and some watersheds are at that point, droughts, wildfires, floods, these are events that are going to happen more with climate change, and they will be exacerbated if we don't have forest cover.
The proposal divides the province's forests into three categories: those needing protection for ecological integrity, those with damaged ecosystems needing restoration, and those for harvest where ecosystems can be sustained.
We talk about the zone, breaking the province into three zones, areas that should be protected, which would be all primary and old growth forests. The second one would be areas that need restoration, and that would include fireproofing and identifying that at a large scale.
In BC, there is no law establishing the minimum age of forest land for harvesting. According to the Forest Practices Board, each timber supply area establishes their own minimum harvest criteria for age and or volume. Weaver says that the New Forest Act is proposing harvest levels shift to small patches rather than large clear cutting.
The framework within the New Forest Act is specific to use nature-directed stewardship, which is an approach that is quite indigenous, and it is an ecologically sound approach. That means that you should, whenever any harvesting goes on, that the forest should be left in a functional forest state, ecologically functional state, so it's not in a recovery state, like, and in other words, not huge clear cuts. So.
Howden says that if the reform isn't implemented, jobs within the forestry sector may face an unstable future.
We're already there. We're already at the point where timber harvest is getting depleted. The actual harvest in BC has gone down greatly over the past 10 years, and particularly the past 5 years, it's halved. And so we're already at the point where forestry is having trouble accessing good quality timber and in the kind of volumes that it used to access it. And so what's happening is there's lower quality timber, there's less of it available, it's harder to access, it's more expensive to haul. And because of that, mills are closing down and hundreds of jobs are being lost in BC every year.
According to BC forestry workers, the industry has faced a 45% drop in employment since 2001. In December 2025, North American forestry company Domtar announced the closure of the Crofton Pole Mill on Vancouver Island, leading to job losses for 350 employees.
Communities are suffering, and the timber just isn't there anymore to sustain the industry, the industrial extraction style of forestry that used to sustain BC is just not possible anymore.
Houghton says one of the goals of the proposal is to eliminate industrial extraction and for ecological limits to be built into law. New Forest Act campaigners are asking communities to call on the provincial government for reforms. Houghton and her team are continuing the provincial tour on Vancouver Island for the rest of the month with a finale in Victoria on June 22nd. For CHLY and Dig FM, I'm Jane Lin.
This report was made with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and listeners like you. You can find more news updates, interviews, and stories from our nonprofit newsroom, as well as our news and current affairs podcast, Midcoast Morning, at chly.ca/news.
This is
We are back again with Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Thank you all so much for tuning in this hour to Speak Up. We have about 9 minutes left, and with that 9 minutes, let's play a little bit more local music. This is the band Whack with Heart in What City.
This is Bird Note. Wildlife biologist Alex Troutman jokes that he was always destined to be a fisherman, but Troutman family fishing trips taught Alex to appreciate birds, too.
Growing up, I would get so enamored by the birds instead of actually trying to catch fish. Like, my spark bird was the red-tailed hawk, which I would see many times while fishing, like, soaring through the air. For me, that was like my version of a phoenix, because when the sun is shining through its red tail, it almost looks like the tail is on fire. So I would see those birds, as well as great blue herons, and they would outfish me. And then, like, I would be in the baseball game or practice and get distracted by vultures circling around and get in trouble because I'm not paying attention.
Despite his early interest in nature, Alex didn't realize he could become a wildlife conservationist until college.
Because all the people growing up around me who were Black or people of color that worked with animals, they were either vets or farmers.
Now, as a professional biologist and children's book author, Alex is showing a new generation of critter-curious kids that they can have a career in conservation, too. Learn more about Alex's outdoor adventures in Season 8 of Bring Birds Back, available in your favorite podcast app and on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Jazzy Johnson.
For one last time, you're listening to Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. I am Danny Nesvenarani, and I was your host for this hour. But if you tune in tomorrow, Wednesday, you'll be hearing our public affairs and talk coordinator, Nicole Hines, who very recently took a trip to Calgary for the Sled Island Arts and Music Festival. Sled Island went on from June 17th to June 21st, and there were so many amazing artists that were being featured. And Nicole got to see a lot of them, so that will be a pretty significant part of tomorrow's episode of Intravenous. Make sure you tune in for that. And then on Thursday, Jesse will be back as well with another episode of Speak Up. It is Tuesday here at CJSF, so as always, every Tuesday, we have a full lineup of just amazing programs for all of you. In about a minute, we have Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman, but after that, we have none other than Raccoon City with Katie Wilkie at 12 p.m., typically Tuesdays. Right after that, then later on in the night, just back-to-back live programs with Slumber Party and then Bitcoover with music coordinator Connor. A lot of just cool stuff happening here on Tuesday. Make sure you tune in throughout the day to see what is going on. All right. You'll hear from me next week at this time, Tuesday, 10 a.m. But until then, stay tuned for Democracy Now!